In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we heard today in the Gospel reading a very familiar parable, the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. We've spoken at length in the past about who the Pharisees were and who the publicans were, who the tax collectors were at this time. We've spoken also in the past about what Christ has come to do, that he's come to unite earth with heaven, mankind with God, and man with his fellow man. He's come to unite this Pharisee with this tax collector. He's come to unite the Jews and the Gentiles, those who had the faith with those who had not yet received the good tidings of the gospel. He's come to make all one, united perfectly with his heavenly Father, sharing life and light for all of eternity. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. And he comes and he finds mankind, though, separated from God and from one another. He finds man knowing not just good, but also knowing evil, being in a state of confusion, a state of enmity, being imbalanced, being in a state of inequality, a state of iniquity. And he comes to undo all of this, to heal man of all of his troubles, to restore man to life as it should be. When we look at these two people in the parable, the publican, the tax collector, and the Pharisee, we see people really at total discord with one another. The Pharisees separated themselves, and that's actually what the word Pharisee refers to, those who separate themselves. They would separate themselves from the rest of society so that they could be righteous. Of course, it was a form of self-righteousness. The publicans, on the other hand, were at this time the greatest of sinners. They were people who stole tax money. They pocketed tax money for themselves instead of giving it lawfully to the Romans. They took extra and they kept it for themselves. And they were despised by people. We heard of Zacchaeus, who was a man of small stature, not just with his height, but with his spiritual well-being and with his acceptance among the people. Nobody liked the tax collectors, the publicans. And these were the kind of the two extremes of society, the Pharisees and the publicans. And Christ comes to unite the two. We would say of the Pharisee that he was half right and half wrong. He was somebody who kept the law as best he could, but he was also somebody who lacked mercy and compassion and love. We would say of the publican that he was half right and half wrong too. He was right in his repentance, but he was wrong in his way of life. And Christ comes to heal both, to restore both to fullness. And that fullness they would find only in him, who is the source of all fullness. When we look at this parable, we see two different ways that sometimes Christians approach it. Two different ways. And this is something that we see outside, really, of the Orthodox Church. We don't see this within Orthodoxy, but we see outside the Orthodox Church two different ways that are in conflict with one another. And I'm going to share something of that teaching with you today, not for your acceptance, but for your rejection. Let's look at this teaching. You know, outside of Orthodox Christianity, there's something of a free-for-all with regard to doctrine. Anybody can say whatever they think, and they can interpret the Scriptures in any way that they feel right. And they can start their own church, they can start their own denomination, they can get their own accreditation as some kind of a pastor. They can kind of go their own way and set up really their own church and their own teaching. And we see people vying for attendance at their churches. We see people trying to win others over to their arguments, to their side of the debate. There are two main errors that we see outside of Orthodox Christianity today, with regard to the Christian faith. The first is those who err on the side of liberalism. The second is those who err on the side of conservatism. That we can err actually in both ways. Now, like the publican and like the Pharisee, both sides are half right. Both sides are right in part and wrong in part. And only in Christ are we able to see what is right and what is wrong. both with the Pharisee and the publican, and also with liberal and conservative Christianity. I want to share with you the basic teaching of liberal Christianity with regard to the publican and Pharisee. You know, there's a Facebook page, and it has all the things that Christ never said, or the things that Christ never did. Some of you might be familiar with that. One of the things that we could find on that page is Christ coming up to the publican and saying, "Get up, get off your knees. There's no sin anymore. There's no sin anymore. There's no right, there's no wrong. There's no moral, there's no immoral. Get up. God loves you." And of course, that's half right and half wrong. Because God does love all people. But there is a right and there is a wrong. If we look at the liberal side and we want to kind of put it into one sentence, it's this: for God to love me, He needs to accept me the way that I am, how I think, how I feel, and how I act. On the conservative side, it's just the opposite. Because God doesn't accept how you think, how you feel, how you act, He doesn't love you. Now, some people might say, well, who says that? Who has that kind of teaching on the conservative side? I'll share with you. This is from a sermon by Mark Driscoll of the Mars Hill Church. This is what he says. Listen to this. "Some of you, God hates you. He doesn't care if you compare yourself to someone worse than you. He hates them too. God hates right now, personally, objectively, some of you." Now we see, obviously, the two errors. One on one side, one on the other. An error on the left, an error on the right. But we have looked at the positive and the negative side of liberal teaching. What about the positive and negative side about conservative teaching? Certainly we see the negative side. God hates no one. But God does hate sin. Right? And why does God hate sin? Because sin is our sickness. Sin is the cause of our suffering. Sin is the beginning of our death. God has come to annihilate sin. He hates sin with a perfect hatred. Now, having said something about two versions of false Christianity, the liberal side and the conservative side, let's look at the orthodox side. And we'll say something in a little bit about why we're looking at these different versions of Christianity. And believe me, on a Sunday of the publican and Pharisee, it's not to say, thank God we're not like them, right? In Orthodox Christianity, the teaching can be summarized as follows. God loves unconditionally, eternally, and completely every single human being. Unconditionally, eternally, and completely. And in His love, He changes us. The way we think, the way we feel, the way we act. He changes us for the better. Because He hates the sin that enslaves us and causes us suffering and ultimately death. This is our Orthodox Christian faith. Why are we talking about it today? We said again, it's not to say, thank God we're not like those who are outside of the Orthodox Church. Because actually, we are like those outside of the Orthodox Church. Part of the problem with the publican and the Pharisee is that they had this understanding that they were not like each other. You know, we heard in the Gospel, the Pharisees, thank God I'm not like this guy. Probably the publican, when he would go to do whatever he did, play cards or party or whatever he did, they probably sat around the table and said, thank God we're not like those Pharisees. Right? When actually, you know what? They were just like each other, half right and half wrong, in need of Christ's full healing and perfection, in need of His love, in need of His truth. And what does Christ bring? St. John the Theologian says that Moses brought the law, but Christ brings grace and truth. What is grace but His love, His mercy, His compassion? And what is this truth but the revelation of the difference between right and wrong, good and evil? Right? He makes everything so clear to us. Christ brings this fullness. You know, when we look at the teachings of the Lord, we say they're truly beautiful. They truly are. The clarity, the perfection of the teaching. And yet, Christ reveals something even more beautiful. He reveals not just the teaching, but He reveals that teaching in action. He reveals His works. He speaks about the love of the Father, and He shows the love of the Father. And how does He do this? He does it in the most complete way, in the fullest way, on the cross, where He offers Himself for the salvation of the world. What does St. Paul say about the cross? He says many things, right? Many, many, many things. What does he say about the cross in relation to the love of God? Here's what he says. He says that while we were yet sinners, while we were still in sin, Christ died for us. And by this we know the love of God. By this we know the love of God. That we see on the cross the revelation of the Father, the revelation of God for who He is, not who we sometimes think He is. And in the Old Testament, there was much confusion about who they thought God was. In the Old Testament, and you can find many passages in the Old Testament, where there's confusion between the fact that God loves sinners but hates sin. Psalm 5:5 says that God hates all those who work iniquity. You hear that? Psalm 5:5, God hates those who work iniquity. In the Old Testament, it was believed that God loved the righteous and He hated sinners. And Christ comes to set the record straight, to say, no, that's half right, that the law and the prophets bring you only so far. I've come as the Messiah, and I'm going to bring you all the way. I'm going to bring you all the way. That God loves sinners so much that He would send His Son into the world to be crucified. Christ says that He comes to offer His life as ransom for all those held by sin. That He comes to lay down His life for sinners because of His love for them. And He shows this love on the cross. You know, we might say, well, if we're looking at this parable then, who does God love more? Does He love the Pharisee more? Does He love the publican more? Who does He love more? It seems in this parable that He loves the publican more. No, He doesn't. He loves them both equally. This parable is to expose the error of the Pharisee. Other parables expose the error of the publican. Just last week we had Zacchaeus, right? Now we have the Pharisee. Look at the balance. Look at the completeness, the fullness. The answer to that question, who does God love more, is He loves both the same. He loves both the same. You know, when we look at these questions, we look at this one so that we can benefit, so that we can understand our faith and grow in our faith and be changed by our faith and be saved by our faith. And two, so that we can help others do the exact same thing. Because whether we're in the Orthodox Church or not, we are all imperfect. We are all in need of change and repentance. We're all in need of a return to Christ, whether on the right side or the left side. We need to get where Christ is. This isn't about our ideology. This isn't about even what church we belong to. This is about our growth in Christ. And that's something that we as Orthodox Christians have to do. It's not enough just to be sitting here in an Orthodox church. We have to become Orthodox, people who have the right faith and who rightly glorify God, people who are changed fully, completely, conforming ourselves to Jesus Christ. And then we also have to see that that same repentance and grace that leads to salvation that is offered to us is offered to the whole world. We have to understand where people are coming from. That some people will be coming from the positions of the right, others the positions of the left. Some will be more Pharisees, some will be more publicans, some will be more Jews, some will be more Gentiles. People are coming from the sides, and they need, as we need, to come to Christ, who is the center. Christ is the focal point of all things, because in Him we find our union with God the Father, in Him we find our union with one another. Glory to Jesus Christ. I want to share one small image with you as a follow-up to the sermon. We spoke in the sermon about the love of God and God's hatred for sin, and that these two have to be kept separate. That the love of God never spills over into love for sin, and God's hatred for sin never spills over into hatred for the people that He has created. The scriptures give us a wonderful image of Moses leading the Israelite people out of slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea. And he comes to the Red Sea and he separates the waters, and the people of God pass through those waters and they enter into the wilderness of Sinai and then into the promised land. This is an image for what the church is for us. That the church is the place where the love of God and also God's hatred for sin are the walls of our faith. And it provides a passageway for us to be changed, to become new people, to become truly the people of God. If one of those walls falls, we perish, either on the right side or on the left side. And in Orthodoxy, both are upheld, firm and solid and unchanging. When we see that wonderful image of Moses leading the people through, with the two walls on each side of the Red Sea, his arms are held out. His arms are held out, outstretched, as if he were on the cross. This is the image of Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, who conquers death, sin, the devil, slavery through his cross, who leads us, the people of God, through the firm and dry footing of the royal way, which is the love of God and also his hatred for sin. The wonderful thing about our role as the church, though, is not just to go through this passageway, to be changed, to pass over, but also to bring everybody else with us. In the Old Testament, it was only the Jews. The mission of the church is to bring everybody from Egypt through this change, through this Passover, with the newness of life. It's a wonderful gift to have this Orthodox church. We could only wonder what would happen if someone tries to lead people to newness of life without both the love of God and God's hatred for sin. It wouldn't be possible.